Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1, please. Chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Nervous this morning. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, you know, he was speaking to a big auditorium of people, and he said, you know, if you brought a thoroughbred up here on the stage tonight with all the lights and the sound, the people moving around, all this, he said, he'd be nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof, right? He said, but if you brought that old mule out here, he said, he wouldn't mind a bit. He just, I said, well, maybe that's a good sign, brother. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, we're going to start out this morning on, I think, the importance of the subject matter. Here, anytime we're talking about the Word of God, obviously, it's critical. And our obedience to it, in our obedience to it, lies our success or failure as far as doing the will of God in our lives, accomplishing His purposes in our lives. And so today, I want to start on a series of training or information or lessons, whatever you want to call it, on child training, biblical child training in 2025. And the Lord's had this on my heart for a few months, and He laid it out for me here a couple weeks ago, I think, what He wants me to do over maybe the next few lessons. And so some of you in here are probably going, well, I can tune out for the next few weeks because I don't have any kids at home. Well, let me say, I'm pretty sure that training and helping your children doesn't stop when they leave the home. Amen. Hopefully it gets even more important. And as they get more mature, hopefully, Brother Jason, they listen a little bit better. You know, maybe they're more receptive than they were earlier. I don't know. But then again, if maybe you got grandchildren coming up. And certainly child training doesn't end with one generation, does it? No, boy, it goes on for generations. And then lastly, if you don't have any children, well, then rest assured that everything I'm going to teach you about training children applies to training ourselves, okay? So it'll be profitable for you, amen? Because we all need training, amen? But our kids, I noticed this, Brother Justin, that kids don't come trained. You know, it's kind of like you take them out of the box, you know. You got to put them together. You know, you got to develop them. Kind of shine them up a little bit and maybe sand off some rough edges, put a little paint on there. Now, they don't come prepackaged and ready to go. You know, it's not like plug and play. You know how they say that, just plug and play? That's not the way it works with kids. They're not like that. And it's not like that with us and the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't just instantly, all of a sudden, all the biblical principles clicked in my mind. Did that work for you that way? If it did, boy, I'd like to hear about that. But no, it's a process, amen? It's a process of us learning and being trained by the Lord. And don't you really appreciate how patient God is and how persistent God is in His training? He doesn't give up on us, Brother Oakley. I mean, Brother Oakley, he's still getting trained. Sister Barbara's been at it for 60 years, and you know, I mean, give her another 60, she'll get it done, I'm pretty sure. It'll take about 120 years to get Brother Oakley trained, but it is a process, amen, and persistence matters. So let's look at 1 Samuel. I want to start with this passage, because the first thing I want to talk about is the importance of this subject, the importance of child training. And I want to point out tonight that the priority here, or today, I'd say the priority that we see here in Hannah's life regarding this issue of child bearing. Look what she says. Look what the Bible says here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, y'all know this story. You know where we're at here. Why is she bitter in her soul? Why is she weeping sorely? She wants a child. You know, isn't it sad today that there's a lot of people that have suppressed that desire today, and they don't even want children? It's so sad to me. You know, I don't understand that. I was around here, it's been a little while ago, but a Christian couple, and they have no children. And they don't want children. It's not because they can't have children. You know what I'm saying? Hannah's problem wasn't that she didn't want children. She wanted a child, but she couldn't have a child. So she's crying out to God. But here's where I want you to get the priority. We see the desire here in her heart for a child. But look at verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thee, unto thine handmaid, a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. What was her purpose in wanting that child? So we saw the priority of it, and she wants this child. But what's the purpose or the priority of wanting this? Why does she want this child? So she can give him unto the Lord. Not so she can consume that child on her own lust, not to increase her wealth, not to provide for her security or for her happiness even, but for the Lord's use, for the Lord's benefit, for the Lord's glory. I think this is... ultimately, if we had that priority, it would certainly increase our purpose and understanding about this. Y'all agree with that? Now, let me ask you something. What in the world would the Bible be like without Samuel? What if she didn't have that desire and she didn't pray and hang on to God until He answered her prayer and gave us Samuel? The man of God. Has he ever helped you? Have you ever read some things about Samuel? What about his broken heart over King Saul? Man, he was so brokenhearted about that. Faithful all of his days from a child until the end. He was faithful. We learn a lot from Samuel. God blessed the world because of Samuel. Because Hannah wouldn't give up on that desire. And she then fulfilled her purpose for which God gave her the son. Let me tell you something, guys. You know what Samuel means, by the way? Different interpretations, but basically it means heard of God. Given of God. In response to prayer, God heard. I have a Samuel. Has anybody's life been made better here because of him? Anybody? 6 years we prayed for him. One miscarriage, 3 tubal pregnancies later, God heard and God answered. And now I think my life is better. I hope your life's better. He's doing the will of God in his life. And I think, man, I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. I was thinking about another man You know, sometimes God will give you people in your life when you're going through a certain valley, a certain difficulty, to walk through that with you, right? And so in those years where we were praying and being disappointed and waiting on God and praying and asking God, as Hannah did, it wasn't the first time she cried out to God, I can tell you that. Well, God gave us a couple that was in the same situation. A chiropractic friend of mine, doctors John and Michelle Hannah, and they wanted a child. They had no children. We had 2 already. They had none. And God blessed them. But she had preeclampsia, and so that child was born at 24 weeks developed, and he weighed 1 pound. There's a picture of him right here when he was 2 days old. And he's 1 pound. I know you can't see that, but I'll leave it up here if you want to look at him. He was 11 inches long. He weighed about 1 pound in this picture. He was in the hospital for 81 days. He had 10 blood transfusions and 2 surgeries. And a lot of prayer, according to his dad. He still has some issues sometimes. But you know what? He just graduated from seminary. Now he teaches in a Christian school. The world is a better place because his parents didn't give up. They had a desire in their heart to have a child. Amen? And so I hope that is your heart. I pray that you pass that on to your children and grandchildren. That, you know, people see children today as a burden, not as an asset. In days gone by, think about it, 1900, the greatest asset a family could have is their number of children. Now we look at it like, who in the world could afford more than two or three? Well, let me just tell you, if you make your decisions based on money, you're making them based on the wrong idea. Because I'm pretty sure David said that when he was young and now he was old, he ain't never, ever seen God's people begging for bread. Amen? I think God provides, God feeds. Amen? And you know, I think having a lot of kids, and I think that it's a good way to see God's powerful hand in your life, how He does provide. Amen? And He provides, guess what? Through us, through His people. Sometimes through allowing us strength and ability to work and opportunity and blessings that we can't do on our own. Y'all agree with that? Seen God do that so many times. Let's look at this purpose here a little bit. Let's go to, I won't even turn there, but y'all know this verse is Revelation 4, verse 11. And this is the purpose why we all exist. Y'all understand that? It says in that verse right there that all things are and were created to please our Heavenly Father. Did you know if you just keep that one principle in mind whenever you're making decisions, Brother Nathan, about what you need to do as far as work, what you need to do in the home, what you got to do in any area of your life, does it please my Father? That's the only thing I got to know. Is this pleasing to you, Father? If I get that right, everything else, God will work it out. Amen. But if I don't get that right, it don't matter how much I study, try, pray, or anything else. If I go astray in pleasing my Father, I do something I know is not pleasing to Him, I'm not going to have the outcome I wish for. Y'all agree? Amen. That's foundational. So the purpose of child training is because we're all created to please our Father, and we train our children that way. 1 Corinthians 10:31, y'all know that. It says, whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for what? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. So what if God were to give you a child, why did He give it to you? For His glory. And to please Him. It was pleasing to Him to give you a child. And now, guess what? It'll be pleasing to Him. And we train them for His glory. Now let's go to Psalm 127. I hope y'all still with me. Sorry, we're just laying some groundwork here. Psalm 127, a great psalm. It's only five verses. We'll read the whole verse. I mean, the whole psalm, and then we'll focus in on some different points through it. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Let me just say this as way of balance here. The Word of God is true. Yes or yes? Every word of it is true. Every scriptural principle is true. But the application of it is different per family. Here's what I've learned. If you got more than one child, you've probably learned this already. They're not all bent the same. And guess what else you'll learn? If you spend any time around church, hopefully you do, around anywhere else where people go and families go, you'll find out families are different. Situations are different. Not everything. This is a broken world full of broken people, including myself. Amen? And so what I'm saying is we're going to study these principles together and we're going to go through this. But just remember, that the way you apply this in your family, in your life, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, may be slightly different than the way I apply that principle in my family. Amen. And I certainly, if you think any man that gets up here and teaches the Bible or preaches from that pulpit practices everything perfectly that he's teaching, you're going to be disappointed. Doesn't mean he's a hypocrite, as Brother Roger taught us here a month or two ago. No, he's just got weaknesses like you, and so do I. And those are well evident. Y'all know already a lot of my failures in parenting and such, but the Word of God is still true. And God still has an application for how to do it in your life. Amen. You seek Him as we go through this. So look at verse 3. It says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." So how do you feel about inheritance? Do you want your inheritance wasted? If children are God's inheritance, you think He wants us to waste them? To misuse them? No, I don't think so. I think, and I don't think He wants us to take them lightly. And just like you would value a gift sometimes because of the giver and wanting to honor the giver, and if God is really the one that gives us a child. And I thought Brother Mark Thrift did a great job of this the other day when he was preaching at Dyersdale about talking about conception. And he said, look, no one but God can make that happen. You understand? That God brings together a seed of man and a seed of woman and makes a life. And only God can do that. You know, you say, well, you know, yeah, He works through people. But it's God that ultimately gives life. And so it's this here. He says that that our children are a heritage of the Lord, and I thank God for that. Amen. So look at this right here. It says not only are they an heritage, okay, but they've got value. It says, and the fruit of the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, I think that's God and man. I think it's probably more God than man. But man is blessed when God is blessed. Amen? Y'all understand that? It's like His reward. He's talking about God's reward. He's talking about the man's reward. Well, both. Because if God is honored and God is rewarded, man will be as well. That's the way it works. So I think that it's both here. But I'll say this. I said children are an asset, right? Not an expense, but it does take money to train them. So what's the expense? Well, the expense is to your flesh. Because if you're going to have a bunch of kids, and I hope you can, and if you do, wonderful. I praise God for you. Hope you have all that God wants you to have. Amen. But you probably can't have all that and all the things you want to have. Like a new bass boat. That ain't going to work. You understand what I'm saying? Something's got to suffer here. Ain't going to be a new truck. Ain't going to be an expensive deer leash. Probably going to have to hunt public land. Amen? Okay? You're probably going to have to give up something. But that helps you establish what priority is. Remember we said priority and purpose. What is the priority in our lives? Amen? And so, we have 5 children, and I'm blessed and thankful that we do. And my wife and I, this was our attitude, is we thought, well, if we have 5, surely one of them will take care of us when we're old. We're still hanging on to that. I mean, seriously, we're thinking, Jamie's like, ain't going to be me. Jamie's like, no, ain't going to be me either. So we're down to, we got Peter as number 5. We thank God for Peter. I think it's going to be Peter. But nonetheless, let me tell you something. That bass boat ain't going to take care of you when you old. Neither is them buddies at the deer lease. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No. God will take care of you through your children and through your grandchildren and your heritage. Amen. So we have to get some things in perspective. Let's go back to verse 1 and 2. I want to look at verse 1 and 2. I don't want you to waste your life. I don't want you to live in fear, because look what the Bible says. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. That vain is repeated there a couple of times here at the beginning of this this psalm. It means it's empty, it's useless, it's worthless for you to stay up late and to work all day and to work overtime and extra hours and be away from your family thinking you're doing a good deed for them. No. What you need to do is you need to put your family first and make sure you work enough that you're providing for their needs and make sure that you're not making wants out to be needs. How do kids get so entitled? Same way adults get entitled. When they get something that they don't work for. When they get something they think they were deserved or entitled to or expected. So be careful. We're not training our children in a way here that we're working overtime away from our wife. Our wife is struggling, trying to take care of the home, take care of the kids, and do all these things. And we say, well, now my wife's going to have to go to work because we just can't make it on one income. I mean, sometimes God gave you plenty of money. You just spend it on something that wasn't what He intended. You understand? I'm not saying sometimes you do need help, and that's good. If you can do it, great, wonderful. And God, look, I'm talking about priority here. If you get the priority right, God can lead and make up for some of these differences. Yeah? I mean, absolutely. A woman at work and the kids be blessed and encouraged and the home be happy and things be in order and the children love the Lord. Absolutely. If that's God's will and that's what you needed to do, there's nothing wrong with that. And working overtime, is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. What's your reason for it? What's your purpose for it? See, let me tell you what is not okay. Now, I'm pretty certain that I can say this with confidence. It's not okay for you to go hunting all deer season, okay, and be away from your family and skip out on overtime. And then have to spend the next 2 months or 3 months catching up, working overtime, being away from your family again so that you can try to catch up on your bills because of all the time you lost while you were hunting. Amen or amen? I mean, I'm just being honest. This is a problem. It's priority. Why? Well, you always learn to ask this question. Why? Why am I doing that? Why do I feel I need to do that? If you get the right answer to that, go for it. If it's for God's glory, for His honor, to take care of, to do what God, know God wants me to do, like take care of my family, get after it and do it with confidence that you're pleasing God. But you got to learn to ask why. Why? And ask the Lord why. Because you know what? You remember what Travis Alltop taught us, right? Brother Travis taught us that, hey, if you ask the Bible questions, it'll give you answers. Won't you ask God in the Bible and say, God, why am I having this problem? And you know what? Read the Bible and see what God says. Because most of the time, He'll give you the answer. He will give you the answer. Amen. So, I'm sorry, but I think it. I'm speaking to the elite of Christian families here today. And I want you to be encouraged that you're doing the right thing. You're on the right track. You may have to fine-tune and correct them things like we all do. But keep your priorities in order. And here's the second thing. Not only does to please our Father, and that's our purpose. That's why we want to keep our priority in order. But let me say this. The importance of child training, also your future depends on it. You say, how so? Well, look at verse 5 here in our psalm. It says, happy is the man that his quiver is full of them. Sounds like your happiness is dependent upon something to do with your children. Would y'all agree with that? Anybody here has got children? Does that affect your happiness at all? Oh my goodness, the Bible's got so much to say about that. We're not going to go to every verse. We're going to look at a few in Proverbs. But let me just say this. What's a quiver full? I don't know. I think it may be different. Some people got bigger quivers evidently than other people. Amen. But I do know this. God said at the beginning that Adam and Eve were to be fruitful and multiply. How many does it take to multiply? How many? It takes at least three. Because you got to replace yourself first. right? We ain't getting anywhere with two, okay? Now, if some people, I'm just saying, the general principle, if you said, okay, Lord, how many children do you really want me to have? Well, I think you probably got to start with three. And if God allows you, then you ought to set that as a goal, because that's foundational. And some people, they evidently, their quiver holds like 10 or 12 or more. I don't know. Brother Schrader, Roger, you probably saw him at Dyersdale. Brother Schrader now has got 14. That's a big quiver. I'm telling you what, man, he's just excited as can be about it, too. Like, man, glory to God. He's not lacking. He's got joy. He's got this happiness we're talking about here. And he's certainly got a quiver that is full. But I'm telling you, countries are dying. Our country is is on the edge here of beginning to go negative population. It's already happening in Europe a lot, especially in Germany. So let's go, hold your place there. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's look at a few Proverbs. We'll probably not come back to that chapter. We'll just reference to it. But let's go to Proverbs 10. Most of our work here will be in Proverbs. Proverbs 10. Talking about our happiness depending on this, on our child, training our children. Look at what it says in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a what? Glad father. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Amen. I think y'all would all agree with that. Easily, if you have children that are of any age at all. Wise sons, again, are not born, they're developed. Amen. Look over in chapter 23. Chapter 23. So it looks like we have a visitor today. Good to see you back. It's Audrey. Praying for you. I'm glad that you're back with us. Chapter 23, verse 24. Look at where it says here, chapter 23, verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise son shall have what? Joy of him. The father and thy father and thy mother shall be glad. Man, look at this. There's rejoice, there's joy, there's glad, and she that bare him shall rejoice again. But now let me show you something here. Those two verses right there are right in context, right in the middle of some warnings. If you're going to have a wise son, if you're going to have wise children, okay, and if you do, you'll be glad, you'll rejoice, you'll have joy because of it, but you're going to have to watch, pay attention to these warnings. You know what? There's two things he's warning them about here in this chapter. You know what they are? Wine and women. You got to be honest and frank with your children about what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches, is that you better watch out for this. This is a warning here, and if you pay attention to this and the child is wise and takes heed to your warning, then you'll have this joy, you'll be rejoicing, and you'll be glad. But not only does our happiness depend on it, but did you know that your honor and God's honor depends on this. Whether God will be honored or dishonored, whether He will get the glory that He deserves in our children's life, is dependent upon this training that is necessary. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Sorry, this is probably the only time that we'll step out of Proverbs here. Colossians chapter 1. Talking about the importance of child training. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Let's start there. Talking about Jesus Christ, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created," we already talked about that, "that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Now here's my question, guys. Do we train up our children and our grandchildren? Hopefully some of you guys might have great-grandchildren. Do we train them up for Jesus Christ to have the preeminence in their life? Preeminent. Before everyone else. Above everyone else. I'm going to give you some tips here, but I want to read you something that Oswald Chambers wrote. I was reading this with Samuel this morning. I just pulled this out of my journal today, and God just by His providence gave me this today. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, "To believe is to commit. In the area of intellectual learning, I commit myself mentally and reject anything that is not related to that belief." He says, "In the realm of personal belief, I commit myself morally to my convictions and refuse to compromise." He says, "But in intimate personal belief, I commit myself spiritually to Jesus Christ and make Him a determination to be dominated by Him alone." Do we want to teach our children to dominate? I do. But what I really want to teach them to do is to be dominated. To be dominated by Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this. He says, "Then when I stand face to face with Jesus Christ and He says to me, 'Do you believe this?' I find that faith is as natural as breathing. And I am staggered when I think how foolish I have been not trusting Him earlier." Wouldn't it be something if our children were trained up that Jesus Christ had the preeminence in their life? He dominated their life. That when they then got a question, they got asked something, that faith just came naturally. It just came through. Didn't have to think about it, wasn't nervous about it. It just was what it was. This is what it is. One of Samuel's friends at the chiropractic college, when I spoke down there, he asked, "How do you live out your faith in your practice?" And I thought, well, I do it the same way there. I do it everywhere else. I just be who I am, who Jesus Christ. I let Jesus Christ. This is my desire. I certainly don't do it perfectly. I certainly want to do it better for Him to dominate me completely. But if Jesus Christ lives in us, then He's the only one that can live His life. We can't imitate that. So let Him live His life in us and through us. Brother Justin, I just got to stay out of His way. That's all. Just keep myself out of the way as much as I possibly can. And let that come through, because He will. He will do that. And so these are the tips that I'll give you here about helping train our children for Jesus Christ to be preeminent in their life and for Him to dominate their lives. Well, first of all, it's going to have to be modeled. Don't y'all think? I mean, if it's not happening for us, I'm not pretty sure whatever we say ain't going to have that big impact on them. So where we need to start with our training is make sure that we're doing what we teach best we can. And when we fail, and we will, unfortunately, then we get right and we show humility and ask forgiveness. And we go again. Wouldn't be a bad idea sometimes to just sit down with your family and be honest and say, "I'm sorry. I let you down. I wasn't committed to the Lord like I needed to be. Would you forgive me? Would you pray for me? I want to do better." And this is what we're going to do from here forward. Amen. Might not be a bad idea. Might be a good start. And if they see something really that is different, I think you'll gain some momentum with that. So modeling. How do you model it? Well, number one, what does it look like? Okay, does Jesus Christ, is He preeminent over your time? Is He preeminent over your time? Does He get me time every morning with you and Him? Amen, as Brother Roger told us. And then every week, do we get we time? Thank God you're here today. Amen. Wouldn't have helped any if you hadn't have been here, all right? So, you know, but, and then guess what? Do our kids see Jesus Christ being preeminent in our knee time as we pray over every major decision in our life. Do they see that? Do they see us praying to God for His provisions, for His protection, for His direction? Do we get down and pray with them about that? Do they see that? That Dad's asking God to help him to get a new customer or to move up in his business. He's asking God to provide him an opportunity and direction for how he wants to use them. Are they learning that? Are they seeing that? There's no way you can't teach that aside from that being modeled and being lived before them. Amen. Do they hear you saying that God is your strength? He alone gives you wisdom, and all your abilities come from Him. And when someone does praise you, do you deflect that praise to God? See, like the other day, I told y'all that Wednesday night, if you were here, one of the inmates that got out, he said, "Man, that was the highlight of my week. I thank y'all so much for coming down to the prison each week." And I said, "Man, glory to God. What a privilege it is just to be available for God to use. That He would decide to use someone like me. He is so great. He's amazing." And the other thing along that is, do our kids see us with an attitude of gratitude, giving thanksgiving for the things in our life, like our work, like our wife, like our church, our pastor? Jamie may not remember this, but I got to give you an example of this. Your kids are learning more than you think from you, whether you're speaking or not. Okay? And it's not all positive. Or at least it's not all positive in my life. Years ago, I remember this. Jamie was a teenager, probably around 14. And we pulled into Peach Creek Baptist Church, where I got saved at in 1996, and I was serving the Lord there. And we pulled in there, and this was an exception, but Jamie was complaining about her Sunday school teacher. And I said, "Wait a minute, we don't do that here. You don't talk like that. You cut that out." And I parked the Suburban, and didn't even get that thing in park good. And the Lord said, "Where do you think she learned that from?" The Lord was right. He's always right. I had been complaining against Jamie's basketball coach at school. She wasn't very good. But I didn't have a right to complain about it, and it certainly wasn't right for me to complain about it before Jamie. So the Lord said, "You gonna get this right?" I said, "Yeah." So on Monday, when I got home for lunch, I called her up and I said, "Coach, I'm sorry. That's what I've been doing. I ask you to forgive me." She is very gracious. She forgave me and then asked me to be her assistant coach. Go get that. And then a year after that, she left the school and they made me the head coach, and I got to coach her the next 2 years. I don't know how God does stuff like that, but it's just being obedient, you know. But what I'm telling you is that God, that your children are picking things up from you, and not all of it's what you want. We have to model this before the Lord. Amen? Are y'all with me? John said this in 3 John 4. He said, "I have no greater joy but to hear that my children walk in truth." Proverbs 29:17. Let's finish this up here. Proverbs 29:17. The Bible says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest." Did you know that your rest depends on you training your children? So we got to correct them. But if we do, we'll have rest. And he says, "Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." What a wonderful thing that is. And then lastly, I'm going to say in closing, that our, not only does our future depend on it, as far as our happiness and our honor, the honor of our name. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor more than silver and gold. Amen. So a name's important to me, but what about God's name? Amen. So not only does it our future honor, but God's honor and the glory that He deserves from our kids is dependent upon this. And then also we saw our rest is dependent on that. And now we're going to see that also society's health also depends on us training our children. Did you know a nation is only as strong as the families? And families are only as strong as individuals. You all agree? Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 33:12 that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. How in the world is the Lord going to be the God of the United States of America? Through us and our children and our grandchildren. If we train them up. And in the importance of them living a biblical, godly life. Think about it. What will America be like in one or two generations? It's going to be determined by our children and our grandchildren and other Christian families like us. Amen. Reagan said this. Reagan said that freedom is only one generation away from extinction. Boy, isn't that the truth? If we don't teach them. So here's just three things I'm going to give you. Okay. How does this affect our society? And what should we do? Well, number one, train them to be a faithful witness. We have to win more people to the Lord. We have to let God work through us to win people to Himself. So just be a faith. Teach your children to be a faithful witness. Number two is teach them good government. So they'll recognize what good government is. Amen. And then they'll encourage more of that and they'll reject bad government. And then lastly, charge them to hold the fort. Amen. Do not abandon their post until our captain returns. And then when our king gets here and he sets everything up, then we won't have to worry about it because it'll all be right. Amen. Until then, let him live his life through us. Let us have our impact on our society as well as our homes. You know, William Borden, y'all familiar with William Borden? Probably heard of Borden. Borden Milk Dynasty. William Borden said this. He said, no retreat, no regrets, and no surrender. No retreat, no surrender, and no regrets. William Borden, y'all know he died when he was like 26. Amen. Doing the will of God. We're still talking about him today. Had a huge impact. He set a priority. He rejected his family wanted him to run the family business. Millions of dollars, obviously. But he chose to serve the Lord full time. That's what God wanted for him. Wouldn't have been nothing wrong with that other if it would have been God's will. But it wasn't what God wanted for him. We must do what God wants us to do. Train your children is of utmost importance. We'll get into the implications or the how to implement these principles next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you, God, for the opportunity again just to be here in your house and be instructed by your word and have your spirit, Lord, in our hearts to direct us, Lord, and to hear what you have to say. I pray you'd speak to us even more and through the preaching hour today, God, that East River Baptist Church might remain a stronghold and a pillar of the truth for your work, what you're doing here in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.